This is an audio article created by the Maritime Archaeology Trust, who are based in Southampton. It has been created as part of the Forgotten Wrecks of the First World War project and has been made possible thanks to funding from the Heritage Lottery Fund. This article has been recorded with the kind support of the Southampton area Talking Echo at their studio in Mount Pleasant Road, Southampton. The Forgotten Wrecks project is being run by the Maritime Archaeology Trust. Between 2014 and 2018, the project aims to research the stories behind the 1,000 or so vessels that were wrecked off the south coast of England during the First World War. A separate 7-minute article, available via the Talking News Federation and the Maritime Archaeology Trust, provides background information about the project. This article is about archaeology of the First World War at sea and concerns the steam drifter John Mitchell. Approximately 15 miles from Swanage, Christchurch and Milford-on-Sea, a historic site has been slowly and silently falling apart for nearly 100 years. Visits are infrequent. Not many people know it's there, and relatively short. People rarely stay for more than half an hour. It is nearly always dark, and while it is not much longer than a tennis court, you cannot see one end from the other, and people never walk across, over, or around it. The site has a name. In fact, it has two. And the story behind how it came to be there provides a small window onto a little-known aspect of our past. The reason not many people visit the site of the John Mitchell is because it is on the seabed at a depth of approximately 40 metres. Scuba divers would typically have about 40 minutes on site and would also need half an hour decompression on the way back up to the dive boat. The John Mitchell was a steam drifter, an 85 feet or 25 metres long wooden steam-powered fishing boat. When launched from Lowestoft in 1913, it was intended for a career of fishing in the North Sea with drift nets. But the following year saw the start of what we now call the First World War, and everything changed. Commercial fishing drifters like the John Mitchell were built to withstand heavy weather. While designed to deploy and retrieve drift nets, they were readily adapted to a range of war duties, and more than 1,300 of them were hired by the Admiralty during the First World War. Steam drifters were mainly engaged in minesweeping duties, escort, supply, repair, and transport. A few were employed as hospital vessels and even cue ships, that is, heavily armed vessels disguised as merchant ships that aimed to lure U-boats into making a surface attack. More unusual roles for hired steam drifters included a hydrophone training ship, aircraft tender, submarine depot vessel, and a chaplain's tender. What better use could have been found for it? The John Mitchell was hired by the Admiralty in February 1915 and, armed with a single 3-pounder gun, began work as a net vessel, maintaining and patrolling anti-submarine nets. Historic documents relating to the John Mitchell are difficult to find, but small clues about the ship's war service can be found through incidental material. For example, a young deckhand from the drifter, Charles Frederick Turrell, tragically fell between moored boats and died in February 1915. And a newspaper report into the coroner's inquiry states that the vessel was moored at the time at Wellington Docks, Dover, suggesting that at this time the John Mitchell was serving with the Dover Auxiliary Patrol. 2 years later, in April 1917, another crew member, 24-year-old George Black MacGregor from Banff in Scotland, died due to heart disease at Poole, Dorset, while serving on the John Mitchell, which would seem was now operating out of Poole. As well as providing glimpses into the whereabouts of the vessel they were serving on, these cases serve to remind us that as the war raged around them, people were still living ordinary lives and facing the usual challenges and tragedies that life presents. Research into the loss of ships during the First World War also shows that the raging international conflict did not put a stop to mundane bureaucracy. Government departments, the armed forces and associated bodies continued to record and file information in staggering quantities. Amazingly, much of this day-to-day paperwork has been saved at the National Archives, where it is available for any interested individual to access. In the case of the John Mitchell, Form 19, and for you and I that means Transcript of Register for Transmission to Registrar General of Shipping and Seamen, can be found amongst the Archives Board of Trade documents. And this provides details about the vessel, when and where it was built and registered, its size and its layout, as well as when and why the register was closed. A telegram catalogued under Home Waters Telegrams, 14 to 16 November 1917, provides us as a second set of brief details about the sinking. Regret to inform you, loss of drifter 1065 John Mitchell by collision 0145/14/11 in latitude 5032 north, 00142 west, with SS Bjerke, bound for Newport from London. All saved and brought into harbour. Steamer proceeded. Southeast by east, 10 miles from Anvil Point. But unlike other similar cases, there is no survivor's report or inquiry into the loss. The fact that there was no loss of life, or that it was the result of an accident rather than war, may have been contributing factors, though these documents do exist for other vessels lost in similar circumstances. The date of the loss could be relevant, with 1917 seeing significantly higher South Coast losses than any other year of the conflict. What does survive, as with many of the round about 1,000 First World War losses along the South Coast, are the remains of the vessel itself, which have been lying on the seabed since the 14th of November 1917. Like many wrecks, it was identified by sports divers following a report by a local fisherman whose fishing gear had snagged on something on the seabed. Diveboat skipper and historian Dave Wendes investigated with a first dive in 2009, and it is thought that fewer than a dozen people have visited it to date. It is hard to imagine what might survive of an 85-foot wooden steam drifter after nearly 100 years on the seabed off the south coast of England. The dynamic environment and the living organisms that are found in UK waters at a depth of 40 metres have taken their toll on the John Mitchell. Parts of the ship not buried in the seabed have been eaten or have corroded, fallen away and disappeared. A non-observant diver could miss the site completely, but certain parts of the vessel and its equipment are still visible on the seabed. With the John Mitchell, as with many other First World War shipwreck sites, the large boiler and the triple expansion steam engine that power the ship are the most prominent. The general outline of the ship's hull can just be made out, with the spare propeller indicating the stern of the ship and the windlass that was used for raising and lowering the main anchor towards the bow. A number of anchors are apparent, and closer examination shows that some of the wooden hull structure is still present in the sand and in the gravel that make up the seabed. In the forward area of the vessel, the ship's gun lies on its mounting. All of these surviving elements help with the identification of the ship. The general dimensions, the number of boilers, the engine and the gun type can all help to confirm or disprove a shipwreck's suspected identity.